Ever feel like your church's social media posts are shouting into the digital void? And if you're tired of getting ghosted by the algorithm, this episode is for you because today we're going to ask the hard questions. I mean, what actually makes an algorithm tick? And should your church even be on these platforms? Well, we're joined by an expert, Jonathan Maugham, to break it all down on episode 508 on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacey and Phil Thompson.
It's another exciting episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. And my name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacey.
Steve, try to be a little more excited. Now, last week, you weren't feeling good, so I understand.
Oh, I listened to that podcast, too. I was like, wow, I didn't sound good, so...
You didn't
much better.
Well,
today.
You didn't sound very happy. You sounded like you were annoyed or something, but that's okay. No, everybody has a bad day. You were annoyed and had a cold. All right, we have a guest today, but before we get into that, this is episode number 508, and brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv, which is us, in case you haven't figured that out by now. And if we can help you in any way with streaming and some other things, we certainly would like to do that. So our guest today is another favorite of ours. We have a few people, just a few that we're really, you know, our favorites. And he is the founder and content brains, his words, not mine, behind Sunday Social, And he reaches over 2 million different people on Instagram. And we're going to talk about Instagram today, each month. He's also a best-selling author. He's been helping churches for many years with volunteers, leadership, hospitality, and burnout. He used to like coffee. I don't think he does anymore. But we won't hold that. You still like coffee? Okay. So, folks, welcome.
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, let's welcome Jonathan Maugham to the Church Solutions Podcast. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm good. I had a productive day so far. Still downing my cold brew coffee, so I'm feeling good.
Okay, good. Productive until now. All right, so you have let's talk for just a moment. You have an event coming up called Instagram Framework for Churches Workshop. And we do want to get to that, but I want to ask you some questions, and Steve will ask you questions as well. You've got over 2,000 people, 2,000 churches, I should say, that use Sunday Social to help them with content, scheduling it, you know, social media and all that stuff. So I find social media, at least for us, kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Sunday Social and what is so good about it.
Yeah, for churches that... know that they need to be on social media, but maybe don't have the people to prioritize it. They don't necessarily know what they want to post. They don't know. It's just kind of a mystery what to even do on social media for a church. Again, I can post about the food I eat, my kids, my life. That's easy. What does a church post? We make that easy for you. Sunday Social, we have 10,000 something graphics. We have a social media scheduler that can automate the whole process for you. Put it on autopilot. It's encouraging thoughts. It is quotes. It's scripture. It's basically anything that a church should be posting. We're pretty intentional about the content that we create. I'm the content brains, like you said. So I very much put brain power into what I think churches should be posting on social media. Again, learning from what I do on social media, what our team does on social media. We try to put that as much behind what we do with Sunday Social as possible.
So what's the mix between the church's content and your content? So if I'm looking into this thing and are you going to take care of everything, or am I need to provide some inspiration, some graphics, some video, some whatever? What's my role if I sign up for this?
Yeah, I mean, you could do both. Our scheduler, you can upload your own content, or you can just have us. We don't create the content for you. We have created content that we think, again, that churches should post. The cool thing about our scheduler is, let's say for the month of October, you're talking about fear, which is a pretty common topic in the month of October. You can choose what topic you are talking about, and we will pick content specifically that goes around that topic. So yeah, it just really gives you a chance to post content to your church without having to put so much work into it. Again, you can provide the, you know, you can provide your own videos, provide your own content. That is the best thing you can do on social media. But I also know that a lot of churches are just like, we need to post maybe every day or three times a week. I know Instagram right now says that 12 times a month is like an active profile, meaning you're going to do better if you're doing 12 times a month, posting 12 times a month. And for a lot of churches, we can only come up with one piece of content a month or one piece of content a week, and this can fill in a lot of the gaps for you.
So I have a question here. I mean, let's, you know, pastors listening to this, executive pastors, volunteers that really want to help their church grow. I mean, why should I even use Instagram? I mean, why even do this clown circus? You know, I mean, I've tried it before. It doesn't seem to work. I maybe get one person that likes it. Then there's this thing called the algorithm or whatever. What the heck is that? And why should I care about Instagram?
I mean, the reality is just, and I'm not supposed to say this as someone who runs Sunday Social. If you want to, you should just have an account. If you think about last time you went to a restaurant, you probably checked out either the website or probably their social media account just to check out the menu, to see what the vibe was at the restaurant, to see, you know, am I going to like this place? Am I going to feel safe here? That's really the benefit of Instagram or Facebook or whatever you use for your church is people who are thinking about attending are just wanting to check out to see what's the church like. Am I going to be comfortable there? Is it going to be something that's unsafe? Are people like me there who attend? You get just a general vibe of the church. And so if you want to post a couple times a month and really show what your church is like, that's all you have to do. That you can totally do that. At the same time, there's a huge opportunity for social media. And I obviously see that because through this discovery algorithm, which is the hot term right now with Instagram, and even Facebook is bringing it, you know, is using that algorithm, using that approach to the algorithm, I can reach people that have never even heard about me before. I can post one video and some of these videos that I post, they take me about 5 minutes to make, and I can reach 9 million people, 9 million views on a single video. And it's actually an opportunity for reaching new people, for ministry, and for even pushing people toward discipleship, but you have to use it correctly. So, so you don't have to. You could just create your page and be a little bit more static with it, and that's fine. You should be on social media, at least in that capacity. But if you get the vision for it, there's a really cool opportunity to reach people that have no idea who your church is.
Interesting. Steve's chomping at the bit here, but let me throw one more thing out here. So we at streamingchurch.tv, we have an Instagram account. Mm-hmm. And so a few years ago, we all got together and thought, and by the way, I see stuff you post with, and it's church related stuff. Very relatable. I really like what you post I guess it's your own account. I guess
that's just me.
Yeah, I really like it. But so we have a deal where like Michael Gray works with us here, and he'll post things that we like, stuff from like even this podcast, you know, or you know, stuff that we have for webinars or things that we've done. It's very helpful stuff for churches and ministries. And then my job is to post stupid stuff, which I'm really good at because I'm stupid. So it works really well as a team. But we still don't get a whole lot of likes or attention. Maybe you've never seen our stuff. What are we doing wrong? Loaded question.
Yeah. I mean, this is so in the workshop that we're promoting, this is kind of what we talk about, is how to understand the algorithm, how to understand what you should be posting, why stuff gets engagement, why it doesn't. But I'll give you one of the pieces of my session from this workshop is you have to remember, this is my cynical approach to social media, my cynical view for the day, is everyone on the internet is a narcissist. That's just the reality. We are, and if you're familiar with your Greek mythology, which I know we're always thinking about when we work in churches.
I took it in Bible college, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, that's good. So Narcissus was this guy who was staring in a pool, and he saw his own reflection. Staring into a dark pool, he saw his own reflection, and he fell so in love with his own reflection that he couldn't look away. He wanted to see himself in that. Now, if you think about a dark pool, that's literally what our phones are. They're the dark pool we look into. We want to see ourselves reflected back to us on social media. So, you know, every influencer you follow, if you follow mom influencers, they post about themselves. They post about you know, my daughter couldn't sleep last night and this is so frustrating. But yes, that girl is posting, but I'm seeing myself in that post. I'm seeing myself, the relatable content. I relate to that so much because I'm going through the same thing. That's the content we want to see. We want to see things that reflect our interests and reflects things that we are frustrated by or that we relate to or that we like. What I say is the best content you can create is content that makes you think, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only person who experienced that. And the cool thing is you don't have to provide solutions whenever you – I don't – in my videos, I don't provide solutions. I just poke at visceral pain points and visceral moments that we can all relate to if we work at a church. And people say, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. And it's interesting because there's this sort of catharsis that happens whenever we see that, like, oh, someone else experienced that. It's almost like counseling. It's like this – this empathy that's created. Like someone is empathizing with what I experience. And it, in a sense, provides help. It provides care. It provides not information, but it provides kind of healing for what people have gone through. I get messages like that, these silly videos that I make. They're like, you're healing my church hurt, or you're healing what I've gone through at my church. I'm not providing solutions, but I'm relating to them. I'm showing them themselves from an outside perspective. And that's what people want to see. So, you know, it's weird because it what I post is not necessarily funny. It is funny, but like it's not like, you know, it's funny because it's relatable. That's what makes it funny. It's not that I'm like, you know, doing something really silly or too crazy. Like I'm not a great actor, but I point at the thing that you're like, oh, I thought I was the only one, or that's so me. I felt that way, or that we talked about that in our staff meeting and people engage with it. So the best thing you can do with your brand account is to figure out how can we post content that relates with a specific type of person that wants our product or that wants what we have to offer. And that's going to create your best content.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting you bring this up, and I'm going to have to relay this on to my wife. My wife's a big fitness person, has a big social following on my scales that I understand. She just had a video recently that went several million, I think she just crested 3 million views on it. And what you just said is exactly, I think, why she's trying to figure it out, you know? Yeah. And it was just kind of a rando video. We have a little home gym and she's working out in the home gym, and she shows a picture or a short clip of what she calls her elephant skin. So her elephant, you know, like elephantitis, you know, kind of thing. She's in very good shape, but she shows this little clip of, and she calls it, you know, creates a little funny, you know, I've got elephant skin, and da, da, da. And that little post or that little video just went crazy.
Yeah.
And it's for exactly what you're talking about. I mean, now that I'm looking back on it, she's like, why did this one go so big?
And yeah, now that you're explaining the hard thing. It for influencers, this relatable content is instinctual. Like you don't realize why it works because you're just posting about yourself. For a brand though, that's a lot harder because a brand is not relatable. Brands are faceless. They are not trustworthy. They're usually trying to sell you something. So I can't relate to a brand. Starbucks, I don't relate to Starbucks. A person I can relate to. So the tough part is figuring out how can I make my brand relatable? How can I create relatable content through a brand? You have to be much more intentional as a brand, whereas an influencer, you post your elephant skin or whatever it was, right? And like, yeah. Oh my gosh, I have that exact same thing. You're talking to me, right? Like a brand can't do that. Streaming church can't post about their elephant skin. It's not gonna make sense. So,
let's replace brand with church. So, to promote my church or to post things for my church, brand, church, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, a church is a brand. As much as we don't want to call it that, it is a logo, a location, a organization. I would call it a brand.
Yeah. So instead of posting announcements, post something that happens in the church that maybe people can relate to.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you can take that same principle and use it for your church.
Yeah. Brand, again, church. I'm giving you, I'm giving you all the stuff, not all the stuff. Yeah. This was one session, but I'm giving you some stuff from this workshop that we're, that we hosted, is, you know, so let's say that, you know, the typical thing is, hey, we're launching small groups this summer, right? Like that's what we do. We create a little graphic, we create a video, say, hey church, it's Jonathan Malm here. We're launching small groups this summer. Doesn't work, falls flat. Instead, what you would do is you would point at a pain point that everyone experiences, or at least the people in your church experience. So what you might do is, you know, Super Bowl just happened. So when football is over and now you have nothing to talk about in the church lobby. And so you can just show people kind of like, like at a loss for words, they have nothing to talk about. That's highly relatable, because if that thing that you normally talk about is removed, and you realize, oh, most of my conversations are shallow, you're pointing at like, okay, we have shallow conversations. I'm used to that. And then the solution is, then you, in the caption, you say, hey, by the way, if you feel like that you never have anything to talk about, get involved in small groups. We make it easy for you, right? Like, so you point at the pain point and then you provide the solution that your church is providing. So yeah, the key though is posting not about your church, but posting about your people, posting about your followers. Again, you're trying to show them themselves. And then once you show them that you understand them, that creates trust. And once you have people's trust, they'll buy whatever you're selling. And again, we're not selling something at a church, but in a sense we are. We're mm-hmm. asking people to pay their time. Hey, pay me your time by coming to this event, or pay me your time by paying attention to this video. We're asking for payment from them.
Does it matter? I mean, we have some people that do some of our social media as well, and they're emphasizing video over images. Is there, do you have an opinion there, or does that just, do videos do a better job of conveying this empathy, or what?
Yeah.
Let me know. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, you have to understand about Instagram, and Instagram is leading the way for Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram. Instagram saw TikTok in 2020 and they got very threatened. They said a lot of people are watching TikTok, and TikTok is one of those you can just scroll nonstop and watch videos. It's a video platform. They have images now, but it's primarily video. And they said, we want to do exactly that. They just ripped off the whole algorithm. They ripped off the whole approach. So they put a huge emphasis on Reels, which is their video format. Mm-hmm. So yeah, videos do well, but also carousel posts, which is kind of the slideshow posts. If you look on Instagram, Facebook doesn't have that. You can upload a carousel, but it just kind of looks like a photo album, right? But the carousel posts are an opportunity that does do really well as well. So Reels and carousel posts. Now, Instagram is leading the way. Facebook is now really prioritizing Reels. They're trying to move that way too. They're seeing the writing on the wall that this is the future of Facebook as well. So they're prioritizing Reels. So those short form video content pieces are really what's doing well right now.
So
tell me,
go ahead, Phil.
Well, I was just going to say, as a pastor listening that may not be up on all this stuff, you keep using this word algorithm. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Yeah. The algorithm is just literally how Instagram decides what to show you. So Instagram is trying to evaluate things that you've liked in the past, things that people who've liked the same videos as you have liked. You have to remember, Instagram is a business, right? Instagram, the only thing they care about is keeping your eyes glued on your phone. If they can keep your eyes glued on your phone, they're making money. So the thing they care about the most is how long you're watching a video or how long you're engaging with a piece of content. So, and their magic number is 3 seconds. They want to see if you're watching past 3 seconds or if you're scrolling through that carousel post for more than 3 seconds. What they've evaluated is that's how long people have it takes them to decide if they like a piece of content or not, if they're going to stick around. Usually more like 1 or 2 seconds. I can see, oh, I'm going to keep scrolling or I'll give it a shot, right? So that's all they care about. So what they're doing is they're evaluating your video. Sorry, I got Slack coming around here. They're evaluating your video and they're saying, people watched past 3 seconds. And this video, the same people who've watched past 3 seconds, they're trying to like cluster you. They typically like Shakespeare content, or they typically like car content, or they typically like this. And so they evaluate, this is probably car content based on who's liking this. And then they show that to more people who like cars. Again, it's just Instagram's way of their goal is to give you content that keeps you glued. And so the algorithm is just, they're trying to figure out how to give you the content that's going to keep you glued to your screen.
So this would be, so if I was looking to replace my toilet, this is why I'm getting all these toilet Instagram thing.
Yeah. They're literally just trying to create connections. Spotify started doing this with music. They tried to evaluate, you know, what kind of music people tend to have in common. And that gives them an opportunity to suggest new content for you, right? Like this is what the algorithms of today are doing. They're trying to figure you out, and they're trying to figure out commonalities you have with other people. And then when you can connect those, you can deliver them the stuff that is going to keep them connected or keep them hooked.
So in the platform battles, you know, there's people run out front and then these other guys come up and these, you know, there's all this different things going on. Is there a platform mix that you recommend now, or what would that look like?
Yeah. I mean, it really depends on where your people are. For me, I value Instagram a lot. I think Instagram is the happy medium. TikTok largely reaches a younger audience. TikTok prioritizes quirky personalities. The nerdier you are, the more like interested in something specific you are, the better you're going to do on TikTok. Instagram is that mix of like kind of more popular influencer, more, you know, mainstream. Facebook is just a mystery. Some people are doing well on Facebook, but Facebook is trying to figure out what they're doing. They're following Instagram a lot. And you can tell that Facebook is struggling because of how much they're paying creators. They're trying to get creators onto their platform. Instagram, I make maybe $10 a month from Instagram. From Facebook, I make about $1,000 a month because they're saying, please post your content on our platform because we need content like this. So Facebook is a huge opportunity if you're trying to make money. And it's growing in the, you know, the ability to reach people. But Instagram has been probably the main source of where I reach the most people. So, but that depends on the type of people you're reaching. I reach people who work at churches who are largely kind of prioritizing Instagram. But yeah, I'm on all three. And it's interesting. One post will do really well on TikTok and do kind of well on Instagram. One post will do really well on Facebook and not do well on the others. It's just, you know, it's really kind of it's kind of a crapshoot a little bit.
If you broaden the scope to digital, meaning you're now putting in, do I run Google AdWords? How does that play into it?
Yeah. Google doesn't have a lot of overlap with Meta, but what I do and what we do with Sunday Social a lot is we will create these relatable type videos. And what that does is it creates our audience that then we can advertise to. So we try to create a video that like every one of our potential customers will relate to this video. And then based on that audience that we've built with this, because we're not asking for anything, we're not trying to sell them anything, we're just trying to create that connection. Then we can deliver an ad that says, hey, if you're struggling on social media, this is your best thing. So there's this really cool kind of 1-2 punch you can do when you're creating this relatable content that then you can retarget people with a more specific ask, because again, you've already established that, oh, this person understands me or this brand understands me and I've already felt that pain. And now they're providing the solution to that pain that I acknowledged.
Okay. So, you have let's talk a little bit about this workshop.
Yeah.
When is it scheduled? It's called Instagram Framework for Churches Workshop.
Yeah.
How can people take a look at this? Tell us the info about this.
Yeah. As of the recording of this podcast, in 24 minutes, it will go live. Okay. So, but it's not, it is a live event, but then it's going to be recorded and it will be available to watch whenever. So you can sign up. If this podcast airs a month from now, if you are watching a year from now, we're probably going to already have be selling an updated version of this course. We're basically doing courses once a quarter, the same course every time of year. So yeah, this was our first one of the Instagram Framework for Churches, but next year, because things will probably change so much by the time we do this again next year, it'll be new information.
All right. So our 9 viewers might be interested in this. How can they, how can they find this? Where do they go? How can they sign up?
Yeah, if you would link it below in the show notes, that'd be fantastic. Okay. Otherwise, it's kind of a complicated URL. But yeah, that's probably the best way they can get it.
Okay. So can they go to Sunday Social, sundaysocial.com and find it or not?
They can't right now. I'll make sure that it links up. We'll figure out a way to link it up there.
But this they can go to Sunday.
This has been one of those more guerrilla marketing that we don't have the webpage built up, but yeah.
Well, that's a good thing you're an expert. So let's talk Sunday Social. I mean, you know, sundaysocial.com, right? That's the URL.
Yeah, .tv, that they can go but .com to. Will also take you there, yeah.
Okay, so they can go there and they can learn mm-hmm. more about what you're doing,
yeah.
what we talked about earlier. And maybe eventually they can get to the
framework. We should probably put the link up there. You convinced me. Yeah,
get on that. All right. So, Steve, anything else before we wrap this up?
I'm sure that you have lots of stories of people that say, I've been wrestling with this for so long, and I had this guy that was on my staff that didn't want to do it, and he's been doing all this, and then I went to Sunday Social and my life turned around. I assume you've had some, because I think it's really frustrating if you don't know the formula and you keep plugging away at it, which is kind of where we were have been at. Versus, you know, wow, I signed up with Sunday Social and do you have any stories of that or churches that have,
any success?
Any success or failures?
Yeah, no, there was a post recently that I saw. It's always fun to see the things that you make for your Sunday Social whenever it actually works out in the real world. And so I was scrolling and I was like, hey, that's a Sunday Social post. And it was getting, 50 comments, multiple thousands of views. It was simply, I think it was your verse of the day based on your coffee order. It was one of those carousel posts. Uh-huh. And based on what type of coffee you order, this is your verse of the day. And it was kind of a funny, the verse kind of related to what it was saying about you. I don't remember. It was a particularly brilliant post. Again, from my brain, yeah. as we said in the beginning, the brain's mind it. But yeah, it's always fun to see just that a post that you created worked for a church. And I see that all the time. It's pretty cool. Again, large churches use us. I'll see something every now and then from like Life Church. I'm like, oh, that's a Sunday Social graphic. And then small churches of 50, 100 people where the pastor is the only person that does everything at their church, they're able to post through Sunday Social. The big thing is it just takes so much off your plate because there's this incessant need on social media. They're like, keep posting. And you just don't have time for that. If you're trying to, prepare a sermon, if you're trying to keep things organized for Sunday, if you're trying to work with volunteers, there's already so many things pulling at you that Sunday Social just hopefully can take some things off your plate. We provide Photoshop files, Canva files, so you can customize. So you're like, oh, I like this graphic, but I would like it to be specific to our church. You can do that as well.
Can I target audiences for my church? Meaning
the thing is, Instagram and Facebook will automatically evaluate the audience. They don't let you target audiences because they're so good at it. Even on ads, they don't want you to do that as much anymore. It used to be that you had to say, 25 to 45 in Greenville.
Yeah, North I don't Carolina, necessarily mean like you do traditionally on Facebook ads or the other mm-hmm. kind of things, but based on the content that's going to go forward on my account. So you mentioned the one that I thought was really good about, what's the verse that I relate to based on my coffee thing, but
yeah,
that wouldn't if I'm trying to reach unchurched people, they'd go, well, what the heck is this? But can you steer will the content get, if I want to get something that would appeal to men or car guys or something like that, can I target my posts, I guess? I guess you have control over what's going on, right?
Yeah, you can choose what you want to post. I honestly, though, wouldn't, unless your church is specifically creating content about cars, I wouldn't do that, honestly, because what you're trying to sell, you're trying to connect a pain point that your church solves. So again, a car pain point would be like, oh, my engine's not starting. I'm sorry, Grace Church isn't going to help you with your engine not starting, right? Like, so the interesting thing about it is, we are all multifaceted people, right? If you see what I post on Instagram, you think, oh, Jonathan's obsessed with church work, right? Like, no, I love coffee. I love Harry Potter, which I know is not allowed in the church world. I love, I read fantasy books. I read a lot of things. I do puzzles. I have so many interests. But what I create online is very targeted because I'm trying to connect with someone else that has that interest. Now, the person that I'm connecting with, they love cars. I'm not really into the cars that much. They love hunting. I don't hunt. I don't fish. But there's that overlap of interest, right? And because of what I do, because of what I sell, you know, with Sunday Social or because of the books that I write, the interest that we're going to overlap on is church, is God, is whatever, you know, volunteering or working in a church, right? So I'm just trying to connect that relatable content with the thing that we both have in common.
And speaking of your Instagram, what is your Instagram account? If people want to get, because I do like your stuff, how can they find you on Instagram?
Yeah, just search Jonathan Malm. I'm spelled the biblical way, not the heretical way with two H's. That's horrible. Look at the way of Jonathan in the Bible, and then Malm, M-A-L-M. It's Malm like palm, M like Mike, A-L-M like Mike.
All right, you can find me good there. Deal. This is why we like this guy.
All right. I worked with a guy for many years. His name was Larry Malm, so I've hesitated to.
Oh, interesting. There's not a lot of Malms in the U.S. My dad was adopted into the Malm name, so I'm not a Malm by birth. I mean, I guess I'm a Malm by birth, but I'm not a Malm genetically. But I am a Malm.
Been grafted in. So what is that? Ethnic background?
Swedish. So it's interesting. Swedish. If you go to IKEA, there's a line of furniture with the Malm name. So there's a dresser, a bed. Every now and then, someone will text me like, "I bought your bed," and I'm like, "I don't get any royalties from that. Sorry."
All right, we're out of time here, but it's been fun. Jonathan Malm has been our guest today, and he's not Swedish, but he kind of is now, I guess.
I'm Swedish-ish, but...
Sweet, yeah. Okay. and what do you take in your coffee?
Vanilla syrup. I make my own vanilla syrup and my own cold brew. I'm a little home brew.
My wife likes vanilla. I can't... I don't like it. I like mine. Well, never mind.
I like... No, don't... I know where you're going with that. Don't do that.
I don't drink coffee, so that's going to really throw me out.
Yeah, he doesn't drink any coffee, so nobody's going to like that.
Not a coffee drinker.
All right, so the website is sundaysocial.tv.
Yeah.
Kind of like streamingchurch.tv in a way.
Hey, we have the same.
Yeah, there you go. And you'll figure out how to get to the Instagram framework for Churches Workshop.
Yeah,
and I'll put that in the show notes here. And this will actually be out pretty soon. It should be, unless my computer crashes again. And I think that's it. So Jonathan, we do appreciate your time. It's always good to have you on here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure.
All right, stick around for a moment so we can get some more free advice from you. Sure. Folks, if you haven't liked or subscribed to the Church Solutions podcast, what are you waiting for? You'll miss fun episodes like this. And if we can help you in any way, we certainly want to. Streamingchurch.tv is really it's really who we are. And we like to help churches with streaming video and some other things that we have going on. So if we can help you in any way, please let us know. Thank you, Steve Lacey. Thank you, Jonathan Malm. I'm Phil Thompson. And thank you, our listeners or viewers, depending on what platform you're looking at this on. Thank you for being part of the Church Solutions podcast today. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode soon.